all these preachers coming in and you got to hear me today. I feel like I need to apologize. My soul, I'm telling you. You know, this fellow said one time, he said, "Preacher, I just got to know the answer to this." He said, "Are we going to eat in heaven?" I mean, he says, eating's an important thing to me here on earth. Amen. And when you looked at him, you could tell it was. And the preacher said, "Yes, we're going to be eating in heaven." He says, "Well, can you tell me how you know?" He said, "We sing about it pretty often in church, and I thought about it when you was leading that song." He said, "That song we sing tells us we're going to be eating in heaven. When the rolls are cold up yonder, I'll be there." Did y'all get that? I just thought of that just now. That's what happens to you. See, I used to have my thoughts in order like ducks. Now they're just like flocks of birds come through and I see things. That's just kind of what's happening. Well, happy 31st of October, whatever. It's just good. And I say all of us have our original mask on. This is the only day people don't get afraid when they look at me because they realize this is what I look like all the time. But normally they get afraid. But you know, today is the 31st, and I thought I'd give you something that you'd be interested in. How many birthdays are today? Well, first of all, forgive me. Today is Nick Saban's birthday. Did y'all know that? That's it. Today's Nick Saban's birthday. And then you know who else was born today? Christopher Columbus was born today in 1451, not 1951, but Coach Saban was born in 1951. Christopher Columbus was born in 1451. Dan Rather, y'all know the reporter Dan Rather, was born today in 1931. Jane Pauley, how many of y'all remember Jane Pauley from the Today Show? Jane Pauley was born today in 1950. Ethel Waters was born in 1896. Let's just check. How many of y'all remember Ethel Waters? Just four of us. She used to sing on the Billy Graham things. Remember, she'd sing, "His Eyes on the Sparrow." She sang that. Did I do good on singing that? No, I didn't. So Ethel Waters, today's her birthday. Then, now you know this name, 1912, Dale Evans was born today. How many of y'all remember Dale Evans? I got to do this, y'all. Happy trail to you until we meet. Dale Evans was born today. And then Michael Landon. Who knows who Michael Landon is? Michael Landon was born today in 1936. And then Deidre Hall. Who knows who Deidre Hall? 1947. Deidre Hall from Days of Our Lives. As sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. I thought that was a Bible verse. But anyhow... So she was born today in 1947. And then Mary Ann Cotton was born in 1832. Do y'all know who Mary Ann Cotton is? Y'all don't know who Mary Ann Cotton is? I don't either. But anyhow, so she was born today. She was a serial killer. I didn't know who she was. I don't know if she killed Alphabets or Captain Crunch, but she was a serial. You'll get that later. But anyhow, having Debbie Sue and I back, good to be back with y'all. We love y'all so much. And when Brother Terry, thank you for calling. I honestly, in my phone is pictures of the church and things that, and I just treasure this. And I have one desire today, is that to be a blessing to you. We left Birmingham this morning. We're dealing with my mom's got some issues that we're dealing with, and we didn't want to leave her for more than one day. And so she just, we just being by her, then we drove down this morning and I said, "Lord, I want to go there and be a blessing today. I don't want you to hear from me. I don't want you to hear from me. I want you to hear from him today. I want you to hear." So that's what we're going to do this morning. But before we do that, because of today, there was this 19-year-old boy looking for a job. He tried everywhere to get a job, couldn't find a job. So finally, he said, "I'm going to go into that funeral home right there and see if they can hire me." So he went in the funeral home and said, "I need a job." He said, "Well, what do you know how to do?" He said, "Well, I don't really know, but what can I do around here?" He said, "Well, do you have a driver's license?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "How'd you like to drive the hearse?" He says, "I can do that." He said, "I drive a car. I don't mind. I got a little, see that sports car? That's mine. I can drive the hearse." He says, "Okay, all we want you to do is just wear the best suit you got. And all you have to do is lead the family to the cemetery. That's all you've got to do, but keep the speed low. Don't go real fast. Just go real slow. Maybe about, 10, 12, 15 miles an hour. Just keep looking, make sure the family's behind you." So he had his first funeral. He was scared to death. So he got in the car, family was all loaded up, he cranked up and he took off, and he was nervous, just make sure he didn't lose them, want to make sure he knew how to get to the cemetery. So he turned on the radio, and there was some fast playing music, and he got into the music, and the foot pedal got heavier and heavier and heavier, and now he's doing 70 miles an hour down the road, and he left the family way behind. He went around the corner in that hearse, and it turned over sideways and it backed up. He went around another curve and he ran down the center of town, flying down through there, and all of a sudden he was going so fast the back opened up, the coffin flew out, hit a parking meter, went busting through the front of this pharmacy, down through the aisles, knocking everything, and back where the pharmacist was, the casket hit up against that thing, and the body flew up and looked at the pharmacist and says, "You got anything to stop this coffin?" Would you take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5? That's your Halloween joke for the day, all right? Go to work tomorrow and tell that. Have you got anything to stop this coffin? But anyhow, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. One verse. And again, thank you so much. It's so good to be here. Be sober, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Today, for just a few minutes, I want to talk to you on this subject, preach to you on this subject, preach to all of us. Three knots in the devil's tail. Three knots in the devil's tail. You'll like this. Father, thank you for this service today. I really feel like that Sunday school was an antibiotic or some sort of a vitamin to help us as we live in our evil day. And Lord, I pray that this will be a time of our hearts being touched and changed. First of all, begin with me. Lord, I need the message today. And then, Lord, after you do your perfect work in my heart, I ask you to do it in somebody else's heart as well. Lord, there's many requests, people having surgery, people sick, accidents, that lives have been spared where it could have been so devastating. But thank God for angels that guard us and the Lord protecting us. And now, Lord, we thank you for the songs that we've sung and the sweetness of this church. I pray, Father, you'll protect it and give them the right man of God. And Lord, I pray that there'll be a new hope in new hope always. I need you now, Lord, to preach. I really do. Please help me now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We don't hear about it much anymore. Did you hear that? We don't hear about it much anymore. And I'm not talking about Wayne Newton either. I'm talking about the devil. He shows up all the time. From the book of Genesis to the book of the Revelation, he's always been there, always showing up. And we're living in a day that it's not popular to talk about the devil. Our verse, the one verse we read this morning, is very clear that the devil is like a roaring lion. That's scary. What if tomorrow morning you woke up and at the foot of your bed there was a lion roaring? I don't think you'd be interested in making coffee, would you? I mean, and the Bible says he is a lion, and it makes it very clear that because he's like a lion, we are to be sober. That word sober means totally alert. And it also says because he's like a lion, we're supposed to be vigilant. That means carefully watching out for him all the time. And then it even says that he is our adversary. The word adversary says he is our opponent. He is our enemy. In other words, can I put it this way? He wants to eat you. That's the devil. And all of us grew up knowing about that. We all, growing up since we were kids, remember we heard that he had a red suit on, and he had horns, and he had a pitchfork and a long tail. Remember that? We all know that's not true, right? But you know, this morning I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to show it to you right from the Bible. The devil does have a tail. And he's got three knots in it. Did you hear what I'm going to show you right from the Bible? The devil does have a tail, and he's got three knots in it. And I'm going to show you. Okay. Your mouths are opening, saying, where is he going today? This old age has gotten to him. I'm going to explain to you. The devil has a tail with three knots in it, not a tail that wags, but a lie tail. And a knot like anything to do with a rope, but no. The devil has some things to say. He's got some lies to tell that are not true. And it's right in the Bible, and I want you to make note of them today. The first knot in the devil's tail is in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It is the knot of sin. In the Garden of Eden, there was a serpent. And Satan entered that serpent. And that Satan, through the serpent, began to talk to Eve about some stuff. I've had people ask me forever, good night, Brother Keith. When that serpent started to talk to Eve, why didn't she run away in fear? Let me explain why. Animals in the Garden of Eden are different than animals now. Since the flood, everything has changed. But we're told in history that the serpent then walked on four legs. That's the reason why the Lord said the serpent would crawl on its belly. It used to walk. And it had a voice like a parrot that it would talk. So basically, Eve was not afraid of it because she was used to it talking. But this voice was not the serpent talking in its parrot voice. It was the devil talking through the serpent. And he looked at her and says, Eve, you can't eat of every fruit of the garden, can you? She says, oh, yes, we can. She says, we can eat all the fruit, but there's one tree in the middle of the garden that we can't touch or we can't eat. And if we do, we die. Here's the first knot in the devil's tail. He said to Eve, you'll not die. And ever since Eve, the knot in the devil's tail about sin is that when you sin, you'll not die. Write this down. This is deep. The devil is a liar. Down around our area, you hear people say sometimes, the devil is a lie. You ever heard anybody say that before? The devil is a lie. No, he's not a lie. The devil is not a lie. He's a liar. The devil's real. No, you didn't marry him. Hey, that's your husband. Is this somebody else I'm talking about? The devil's not a lie. He's a liar. And that's all he does is tell lies all the time. And he'll tell you things. Even the Christians, you know Bible verses, you know the hymns by memory. He'll say, you'll not die if you'll sin. Go ahead, do this. You can get away with it. Do this, you won't pay. Go ahead and sin, you won't die. Go ahead and sin, it's fun. Can I tell you something? Sin is fun. You ever heard old preachers, you don't want to sin. There's no fun in sin. No, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:23, yes, there's pleasure in sin for a season. So why do all those young people do all those things they do? Because the devil lied to them saying, you're going to have fun. And you know what? They're having fun. But the Bible also says something else as well. In Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. The first knot in the devil's tail is about sin. He'll tell you, you're all right, go ahead and sin. He says it to the worst of people, and he says it to the best Christians, and sometimes we tend to believe it. And there's a price to be paid because Romans 6:23 says the wages, the payday for sin is death. So the first knot in the devil's tail began when he said, you'll not die. How many preachers have stood up in pulpits and cried looking at their congregation and saying, I have sinned. And I'm so ashamed and I'm so sorry. and sitting on the side as a wife and children crying and a church crying and churches broken up and families broken up because the man of God who preached against adultery believed the knot in the devil's tail, you'll not pay. How many young people who sometime will have a big party and say, hey, let's do this, we'll have a great time. We just won't let anybody know. And then within 3 or 4 days later, there's a chapel at a funeral home filled with people lined up looking at those young people's bodies who drank and had an accident because they believed the devil's lie. There were some ducks that found the perfect field in order to feed. There was some nice grain and there was some water so they could eat and drink and eat and drink. And there were some little boys who saw all these ducks by that watery area where the field was, and they had an idea. They got some pumpkins, and in the side of the pumpkin they put a big old hole, and they put about 20 or so pumpkins around there, and those ducks realized there was some delicious seed in those pumpkins. So as soon as they landed, they put their heads in that pumpkin and enjoyed every seed. The boys were smart. Every time they got more pumpkins, they made the hole a little bit smaller and a little bit smaller. So the next time, Brother Stallings, when the ducks came, they found it hard to get their head in there, but those seeds were too hard, or too good not to want. They forced their head in that pumpkin and ate all those delicious seed. Finally, about the third or fourth time, those boys had it down where they made the hole just right. And when the ducks landed, they wanted those pumpkin seeds so bad, they forced their head in that pumpkin. And the seeds were delicious, but they could not get their heads out of the pumpkin. And those boys enjoyed killing every one of those ducks. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil has pumpkins for you to put your head in. And you know what? There's just something in there. It's just nearly too good to refuse. Even to the best of Christians. Oh, I just can't deny this. But you got to. But you got to. Because the knot in the devil's tail is a lie. So the first knot in the devil's tail is about sin. There's a second knot. And I want you to write it down in the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. The second knot in the devil's tail is the knot of sincerity. I said the first knot in the devil's tail is that of sin. You'll not die. The second knot in the devil's tail is the knot of sincerity. The Bible tells us it was the time, remember in Sunday school, that the sons of God came before the Lord, and Satan was in the midst of them as they went before the Lord. See, this morning, the devil has limited access still to the presence of God. Job 1. And the devil walked up there, Lucifer walked up, and God looked at him in Job chapter 1 and says, where have you been? And he says, well, I've been in the earth. I've been on the earth. I've been back and forth. And then the Lord looked at Satan and he says, have you seen my servant Job? He's saved. He's upright. He's honest. He's godly. He fears God. And he hates evil. Then the devil looked at God and he said, the only reason why Job lives that way for you is because you're taking care of him. You're blessing him, God. In other words, what you've got going for him, God, is you've got a security system around him. But the very minute things go bad, he'll turn his back on you. And he'll hate you. But the only reason why God's honoring you now is just because you're taking good care of him. Well, what ended up happening, you know the rest of the story. What ended up happening is simply that he lost everything. I'll go to the end of the story. He lost his family. He lost his business. He lost his property. He lost his health. Boils came all over his body, that he took broken pottery and scraped himself trying to get some relief, and even sat in hot ashes trying to get relief. And then on top of that, his friends looked at him, Job's friends looked at him and said, you know the reason why you're suffering like you're suffering is because you've sinned and God is judging you. Remember the story? And then on top of that, he had a wife that said, Job, just curse God and die. He had nothing going for him. Oh, without a doubt. Remember the thing that the devil said to the Lord? If you take the protection off of him, he'll turn his back on you. He's not sincere. Well, what ended up happening? Here it is. In Job chapter 1, verse 21, Job said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job said in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. In Job chapter 1, verse 22, it says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You see, the devil said, he's not sincere. Take the protection off of him, he'll do his own thing. He'll turn on you. But Job did prove he was sincere. Through it all, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now here's the question. Job proved his sincerity. Are we sincere in this service today? In other words, when everything is going great, oh, how I love Jesus. And then when things don't go our way, do we say, Lord, where are you? You let me down. In other words, can Brother Keith put it this way? Is our sincerity just on our face, or is it in our heart toward the Lord? That's good preaching, isn't it? Because there's a lot of people going to church today. Hey, brother, how you doing? Good to see you. God bless you. Good to see you in the house of God. Hey, sister, good to see you and your husband. And he's an Auburn fan. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And then all of a sudden, everything goes wrong. Where are they at? Where are they not in church? Well, they're blaming God for what's happening. I'm asking all of us. I didn't say you, us. Is our sincerity on our face or is it in our heart? There was a man that since his birth was blind, could not read and couldn't do much, but he got saved young and fell in love with the Lord, and he got a Braille Bible and he learned everything about the Bible day and night. With his Braille Bible, he was reading every word. He lived in a little apartment, didn't have much, but as long as he had the Lord and had his Braille Bible, he was totally content. A young couple moved in the apartment next to him and they left something on the stove. And both apartments burn up. And the blind man barely escaped with his life. But both of his hands were totally burned up, but there was no feeling in his fingers. That was his life. Reading the Braille Bible. And now they're gone. And he sat in a chair in the hospital and he began to cry, God, I love you so. And that's all I have, and I can't even read my Bible anymore. And he began to cry. True story. And as the tears came out of his eyes with his tongue, he caught the tears and he thought, wait a minute. He took his Braille Bible and he began to read every word with his tongue. Ladies and gentlemen, that's sincerity. There's so much fake Christianity, I'm sick of it. And more than me, God's sick of it. We put on a show, but when the chips are down, we say, God, you let me down, baloney with you. Is our sincerity in here like Job? Or is our sincerity to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The first knot in the devil's tail, you'll not die if you sin. The second knot in the devil's tail is, Job's not sincere. Then there's a third knot in the devil's tail, and that's found in the Gospels, and I want you to write it down. It is so good. In the book, let me put my eyes on it. The third knot in the devil's tail is in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 and 22. The third knot in the devil's tail is about the knot of salvation. Jesus stood before his disciples and he said, I'm going to die and then I'm going to die again. In that passage, Peter grabbed Jesus, grabbed him, and he said, this is not going to happen. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. And Jesus went on to explain, you've offended me. You don't understand and you do not consider what God wants. You only consider what you want. And that's the devil's third tale about salvation, the lie about salvation, that we can come up with salvation on our own. And Jesus said, there's only one way to be saved. There's so many people who have believed the knot the devil tell about. I'm saved because I'm a good person. I'm saved because I've been baptized or sprinkled. I'm saved because I'm a Baptist. I'm saved because I spoke in tongues. I'm saved because I'm Pentecostal. I'm Church of Christ. I'm saved because I go to church. And I try to treat people like I want to be treated. Hello. I'm saved because I grew up in a Christian home. That's all we've ever known. I've always believed. I'm saved because, you know, all of us just believe that heaven's real and hell's real, and I've always thought that was true. I'm saved because He's the Lord of my life, and I love Him, and He's on the top of my list. I got to say this. There's a famous preacher in Birmingham right now that everybody thinks is the greatest thing besides Bluebell ice cream. And I heard him say in a message, quote, salvation is nothing more than putting Jesus at the top of your list. There's not one verse in the Bible that says that. The thing is, it's not where Jesus is on your list. It's where you are on His list. That's what makes the difference. Somebody say amen to that. Oh, I just love Him. There's a lot of cults that claim they love Him, but they'll die and go to hell. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, there's going to be those who say, Lord, haven't we done this? And haven't we loved You? And haven't we served You? We've done things. And He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. There's a lot of people that are sitting in churches that have never been born again because they believe the knot and the devil's tale about salvation. Do you hear what I'm saying? John 3:16 is very clear how you're saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whew, I love this part. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have. Finish it. Aren't you glad of that? That's what it's all about. The Bible is so clear. Matthew chapter 7, I want you to write that down, verses 21 through 23. There'll be a lot of people that will be sent to hell who believe the knot in the devil's tale about salvation. There was a blind man back in the 1800s that took his Braille Bible, and as people walked home from work, back in those days there were no Fords or Chevrolets, and they would work in the factories and they would walk across this bridge to their homes in the evening. And this blind man stood on the bridge and with his Braille Bible would be reading the scriptures as they walked home. And so often the people by the droves would just stand around him and listen to him read his Braille Bible before they got home. And he would read through the scripture. And this particular evening he was reading in the book of Acts out of his Braille Bible and he lost his place. And he started repeating over and over, no other name among men given. No other name. No other name. No other name. And the people began to laugh. And they went on across the bridge to the house because he lost his place in his Braille Bible. One man stood there, and about 15 times he kept on saying, "No other name, no other name, no other name given among men whereby we must be saved." And he found his place. And when the man, the businessman, got home and he was changing clothes, it hit him. Wait, that blind man's readings echoed in his mind. Wait a minute. I go to church. I live a good life. That doesn't save. I realize today there is no other name. And he fell down on his face and he got saved. This morning, the devil has a knot in his tail to saying, "You're okay. There's a lot of people that are worse than you are, and you're some of the best people in church." That's the knot in the devil's tail. I'm here to tell what the blind man said. There is no other name except the name of Jesus that has saving power. So, ladies and gentlemen, those are the three knots in the devil's tail. The knot of sin. Is there sin this morning you need to get rid of? That maybe you're playing with, get rid of it, it'll kill you. The knot of sincerity. Are you really true blue about your love for the Lord? Or is it just because things are good? And there's the knot of salvation. Are you just living good? Or have you been to the Master to save you? Those are the three knots in the devil's tail we need to cut off. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and nobody's looking around. A message for Sunday school and church that deal with this, what people call on the calendar, Halloween. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You know your heart, and the Lord knows your heart. Lord, there's some sin I'm playing with. And I'm just like those ducks sticking my head in that pumpkin. And I know one day I'm going to get caught. Lord, today I deal with this. I'm going to quit doing the flirting. I'm going to quit doing the bad stuff. I'm quit thinking those things. I don't want to pay the price for sinning. I ask you to forgive me. Today I am going to be sincere. And I'm going to deal with my sin. And I'm going to make sure I'm saved. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'll be honest with you, I do believe in an altar. That's why all this is around here, the front pew, that maybe today there's something that's going on that you feel like, I can control this. I can control the sin. Nobody's ever controlled sin. Nobody. And the devil told Eve that, and he's telling you that today. It's all right. You'll not die. I'm begging you because I love y'all. Deal with every sin that is your toy right now. Get it out. And when we stand in just a minute, you come to the altar, whatever it is, and you tell the Lord. Also, I want all of us, how sincere are we about our faith? Is it just because we do it because we have a security system around us? Or if everything went bad, would you still be sincere to the Lord? Examine yourselves. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and if you would go ahead and start playing for us, how many of us know today we've been saved? Just to rejoice in our salvation. Just put your hand up, not to me, but to the Lord. I've been saved, Brother Keith. I've been saved. Raise your hand to Him and thank Him for saving you. Amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you could not raise your hand, I want to ask you today, trust Jesus. The devil wants you to look at all these things and believe his tale. And you need to say, nope, I realize there's no other name. There's no other name whereby I can be saved except the name of Jesus. And I'm going to help you today, ask Him to save you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, pray with me, not out loud, but just to yourself, and definitely not to me, but it's to the Lord. Ask Him to save you. Just say right now, to yourself, to Him, "Dear Lord, I need to make sure I'm saved today. I don't want to burn in hell. I don't want to die without Jesus. And I know you died for me. I know you shed your blood for me. I know you rose from the dead for me. And I ask you, Lord, now to save my soul. I no longer will hold to the devil's tail. I'm getting saved today. Thank you." Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and I would never embarrass you. But if you just prayed that prayer with me, I just want to rejoice with you. Not embarrass you, but rejoice with you. If you pray with me, can I see your hand right up, right back down? Anybody at all? I ask Jesus, amen, amen. Anybody else? I did. Anybody else? I never, amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Now, this is what I want to encourage you to do. We're going to stand right now. And in standing, if you want to come forward and make that confession, I wish you would. Or at least tell somebody in the church, I asked Jesus to save me, and ask them to help you. And you do however the church handles decisions for the Lord. But let's stand right now with our heads bowed and eyes closed. This is the time. Please step out. Whether you say, Lord, I want my sincerity to be real. I want to deal with sin in my life. I want to be saved, or I have been saved. I'm standing here. Please come right now. Please come.